It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Kruman.
Well, hello there. Greetings and salutations to our wonderful... Oh, there they are. The wonderful fans of the Product Genius with Tiffany Kruman show. I always run out of breath when I say the name of that show. I am your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian. That's why the crowd stopped cheering, because I have to announce myself. But maybe they would cheer again if I said, if I announced the star of the show, if I had her come on the mic and say hi to everybody. She is here.
I doubt it.
Would you stop looking at your phone? Who's texting you now?
Family. Just making sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bring up family. Actually, it's your Kickstarter campaign.
My daughter forgot her volleyball pads.
It's always something.
Crisis.
Yeah. Well, listen.
What is that saying? Your failure to, I know you'll
you'd
know it.
Forget your head if it was, you'd no, forget your head if it wasn't screwed on. That's what my mom
does did. Not.
Your failure to plan does not create an emergency situation on my part.
Yes.
I'm sure it's my father-in-law
said that,
that
way
to
better.
Teach my daughter. Yeah. Your father-in-law.
Actually, the way the answer is what do you want me to do about it?
I want to know what you did that caused your father-in-law to say that to
No,
you.
No. It's what his children did. Your piss he was a military guy. Your piss poor plan is not creating an emergency situation on my part.
There you go.
So my dad's military too, and that was exactly
That's a much better way to say it. All right. Yeah. Everybody go watch Band of Brothers or The Pacific or World War II in HD, narrated by Gary Sinise. Great. Remind of the greatest generation. And that's why they were the greatest generation. Let's get things done. So speaking of that, let's get things done on this show. Noah McNeely from Product Quick Start is here. ProductQuickStart.com. You help people develop their products. You help people get their product from design and idea to on the market. If only you had been there with Tiffany's six clay models,
we would have a barking elephant on the market today.
Check out past episodes in our archives if you'd like to know more about that nice little Easter egg. So welcome to part two.
Yes.
Of arrested development as it pertains to product quick start and product development. Full disclosure, we are recording these episodes back to back. You're not here. You're hearing them back to back, but in different months. And Noah has, the reason we're recording back to back is because we, wanted last month's show. Noah got sick and, life happened. The arrested development of our program because you weren't feeling well. So we're doubling up recording today. And that's why we decided, hey, let's do a two-parter because Tiffany's great pithy comment was.
Uh-oh. What was it?
Okay. Pregnancy brain. Her great comment was, we always do these great topics and then go, we should do it again and then forget what we talked about. Yeah. We literally just all took a quick potty break, came back, and now we're ready to talk about it.
Time works differently here.
That's right. We've been able to slow down the time-space continuum, but we're not going to go down any Star Trek Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, or Voyager paths.
That's every episode next year.
Exactly. We talked about arrested development, and we kind of talked about things that can kind of arrest the development of your product, your business, getting to market, all those kinds of things. And then you guys had a fantastic brainstorm of some other parts of arrested development. So let me just get out of y'all's way. Who wants to start? What are we going to talk about here today?
I'll let our genius start, obviously.
No, I've already started. Let's let Noah. I'm just kidding.
Well, those of you who did hear the last episode, you might remember that I opened with the fact that I'm exhausted, and I think we're all exhausted. So once again, this could go either really well or really poorly. One of the comments we made last episode about arrested development, which is about the Bluth family, and Michael Bluth is sort of the normal kid that comes back in to help hold his dysfunctional family together. Unlike Michael Bluth, if you have a lot of stuff that's driving you crazy, if you have a lot of dysfunctional stuff in your business or in your life or otherwise, you have the ability to expand your cast and bring in some help or bring in some advice or bring in whatever you need. And I think that's what we're talking
pretty
about.
For pretty much every aspect of it. And obviously some of that depends on what budget you have,
And this show,
you're not alone.
Our show is a testament of that in the product development space, because of guys like Brock that we brought on the show, and past partners of this show, guys like Derek Griffin of SpearTech, who will help with your website, and you know, countless others. So, and unlike Arrested Development, where the characters are incredibly dysfunctional and incredibly silly and don't really help at all, although
you will need a lot of those.
you do need to be able to tell if this character, you need to be able to kind of discern who are the geniuses and who are the scam artists.
And that's one of our notes that we went over, as how to pick those people, how to find those.
All right. So how do you do that? Now let's do it.
It's
let's do that
10
now.
10 steps ahead though, right, Noah? We'll start at the beginning.
You know, I the way I take notes, it's just sort of randomly all over the page. So there's no order here. It's more stream of consciousness. So, we can go in any direction you want.
Well, I've got us in a direction. Let's talk about how you tell. What are some things, you know, give some advice on being able to tell the scam artist.
So you've got this dysfunctional element of your business or of your life or whatever it is. You know, whatever it is that's stressing you out, you can usually get someone to help you with that. But how do you make sure that you're not simply bringing another dysfunctional element into the team? And we talked about this back and forth a little bit. Obviously, you can come to us. We can recommend people, you know, in a lot of different spaces. We'll go through some of those spaces in a little bit. But even broader than that, you know, for whatever reason, you don't like the way my voice sounds. You don't want to talk to me and get my advice. That's okay.
Right.
There are lots of other ways to do it. You know, there's a very large inventor community in the world, you know, LinkedIn or Facebook groups or et cetera. You want to look for people that have been really referred to you or recommended by other inventors. And this goes true for everything. You know, I do engineering. I do product development. There are a lot of fantastic engineers and product development guys out there that are not the right fit for you or not the right fit for inventors. I inherit a lot of products or a lot of projects from, you know, with clients that have gone to fantastic engineers who were not really good at working with inventors, and they end up, you know, I can't afford. It's not only that I can't afford them, I can't afford to do it the way they want to do it.
Right.
And that applies across
or even
much
the timing,
everything.
Right? Because they might fall to the bottom of the priority list at a bigger company. So
you know, the big takeaway there is, how do you find someone who's not going to be dysfunctional? You got to really network out into the community, the inventor community. And that could be actual networking, reaching out to people and say, hey, I saw you were successful and I follow your Facebook page. And you
know,
Tiffany loves this. If you just reach out to her directly.
I don't mind this.
Yeah.
I don't really like it when I'm approached and someone says, I have an idea very similar to yours or a better version of yours. Who's your factory? I've heard that actually over the years. That's the one thing you probably don't want to say to somebody. But
yeah, just call Tiffany at home and she'll be happy to help you.
Her number is.
but the point there is, you know, maybe you are more of an extrovert and you can reach out to people and you're happy to do that. But even if you're an introvert, there's so many discussions back and forth, really in public open forums. Just got to look in the right communities.
Yep. And trust the referrals. I mean, if 12 people are telling you somebody's bad, listen to it.
Right.
Actually listen.
So those of you who've listened to the show in the past, you probably know who Brock Coles is. He's a patent expert that we refer, Tiffany and I both refer a lot of people to, because he is very inventor-centric, very inventor-friendly, but he really knows his stuff too. So he's got a lot of corporate experience, but now he works with inventors just like I do because I like it and he likes it. But anyway, I just sent a client to him who spent a ton of money with a different patent attorney who was a referral from a corporate friend of his. Great patent attorney, nothing wrong with what he did. It's just, it's like driving a Ferrari when you need a moped.
And we've met, unfortunately, Noah and I have met the majority of people we've met along this journey have done exactly what he just described, have spent anywhere from $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on patents. Very often they have not even launched the product.
Right.
They've secured this patent that they're so excited about and they share on social media, and that's as far as they get. So we're hoping you'll go the opposite route, you know, through someone like Brock who starts in the right level for you.
So in that scenario, the first time they got a referral, they got a referral from someone outside the inventor community who was just trying to help. The second time they did it right. They came to someone in the inventor community, myself, to get a referral to someone who was really appropriate for what they were trying to do.
And Brock also has a trademarking attorney in that same network. So yeah, you've got those two big things covered that a lot of people waste a lot of money on.
Is it too naive to say that as you start to talk to other people and try to find your geniuses and enhance your cast or expand your cast of your little sitcom that's known as your product-based business, is it too naive to say, hey, try to at least have a conversation with more than one person or company for each seat?
That is not too naive. Mm-hmm. That is just naive enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. you absolutely would benefit from talking to multiple people, especially if you have any element of not being certain. Now, in the case I gave a minute ago, they already seen what a patent attorney outside of the sphere was like and what that costs. So when they got to Brock, they're like, well, this is enough due diligence for me. I don't need to go any further. But if it's the first patent attorney you're talking to, maybe talk to a couple, or the first, you know, whatever else is on this list, you know, whatever's stressing you out that you're looking for help with. Now, if you go and it's like, oh, it's $100 and I know, and it's not a big deal, and maybe you don't want to take the time to do due diligence there, and you're okay if I waste the $100, that's okay. That's fine. But if it's a big deal, like your patents or your fulfillment or whatever, even if I refer you to someone, I'd rather you talk to a couple of people just to make sure it's right for you.
Yeah, a couple of people who've actually done this too, because you'll meet – the inventor space is growing every day. Shark Tank has, you know, created this kind of buzz of inventing and entrepreneurship, and it's like every – when I'm on LinkedIn, I just see it continue to grow, and all of these new quote-unquote experts are coming up. And so if someone has not been down this path, like I have, I've done the hard knocks, you know, life of this building a product. If they've not done it and they've not made some of these mistakes and met some of these lemons, if you will, then they can't really help you. And so even the people who are giving you referrals, you might want to pay attention to who they are and what they've done.
All right. I'm going to confess something on the air. We're going to have an Arrested Development type moment where there's a big, big bombshell drop. So everybody knows, or if anybody's listening to this show, I'm an independent financial advisor. I do not have a product-based business. As an independent financial advisor, I'm in the service realm. I help people invest their money. And so people sit down with me to talk about their investments. And here's the two extremes that I think also apply to I'm starting to develop my product-based business, and I need to sit down and start talking to people. I need to talk to a patent attorney. I need to talk to someone like Noah. I need to talk to Tiffany as maybe a mentor. I need to, you know, so all these different things. Here's what I get, and I think we need to stay away from these two extremes. The one extreme is to acknowledge, I don't know anything, right? So as you're developing your product, don't present yourself to potential scam artists and other people. I don't know anything, because if you don't know anything and you haven't done any research, I've got an idea, right? You get that in your inbox. It's like, I need more than that. Okay. So don't just go, I don't know anything. The other one I also come across is the person who comes in who is so clearly looking for a scam, or almost like, and I tell people all the time when they sit down with me, I go, look, this is a job interview. I'm doing a job interview. I'm trying to get hired by you. But that doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden, you know, the district attorney on Law and Order who's trying to crack me under pressure and show me that I'm a scam artist who's, you know, so tell me about your fees and tell me about this. And aren't you really this? Are you really a fiduciary? Does that really mean that you do this? Are you willing to sign this document that so. You don't want to tick people off.
Extreme,
So, so here's my question. Here's where you guys can salvage this. What are some great basic questions that inventors and product based business owners should kind of have in their back pocket that maybe apply to whether you're talking to a patent attorney or whether you're talking to, you know, someone who works for the factory or manufacturer? What are some good, cause I've got one. Can I get a list of a couple clients who've been satisfied with your work so that I can talk to them? Okay. I think that's a fair question.
And for some companies.
Right. That's what it might not apply in every situation. I can't give that. And I've been asked that question. I go, that's a fantastic question. But my clients, I have a confidentiality agreement. I'm not supposed to tell anybody about my clients. So I can't do that. Now, I will, if they're going to walk out the door, I'll say, look, I've got a couple clients. I can ask them if I get permission from them to give you your name, you know, so I've been able to do that. But what are some other questions? And Tiffany, I guess that was your question.
Yeah,
so I stole your question. You got to come up with another one.
Well, let me caveat or let me adjust that question please. Slightly. So just like you, I've got clients, you know, if I give out referrals, then my client's going to get bombarded with calls, you know, because, and half of them are going to be, you know, maybe not even good fits. So what I do first is I say, okay, here's, in this actually on my website, here's mm-hmm. a list of companies with products on the market that I developed. You can link out there. Yep. You can buy the product if you want, and you can go from there. These are actually successfully done, which actually relates to the question I would ask. And that is, have you actually worked with inventor entrepreneurs and right. have they gotten on the market? Now, that's not going to apply to every single task. Right. I mean, if you're going to a graphic designer to do a logo, maybe it's more like, show me logos you've sure. done that yep. are out there mm-hmm. in the field mm-hmm. in use. A lot of people can show you pretty pictures of all sorts of cool stuff mm-hmm. that are not real. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very careful of that. A lot of engineers yes. can show you all sorts of cool mechanisms that are not real
that
products.
3D renderings. That's all they were.
Yeah. Or even if they're just prototypes, you know, there's a lot of prototypes mm-hmm. I can show you that look really impressive, but by the time it gets from that point mm-hmm. to the manufactured product, it changes dramatically. Mm-hmm. But you need to make sure that you're working with someone that can answer the question from the end point back, not simply from getting you from step 3 of 30 to step 5 of 30.
I feel like when we share these things, they sound like such common sense pieces of advice, but sadly, what he just shared, most people don't look for. Or they don't. You'll ask them, you know, what examples did your engineer right. have of where? Nothing.
Well,
not a single thing.
You don't know what you don't
yeah.
know.
Because when you're in the middle of it, you're spinning yeah. your plates and you're, you know, yep. you're dealing with the banana stand mm-hmm. and then the, you know, I mean, yeah.
And I really think there are people I meet sometimes that think engineers mean Tony Stark. Right. You know, building Iron Man suits and they're all the same.
Right.
No, that's not what engineers do.
Yeah. Tiffany, do you have a question?
Oh, who is gosh. Tony Stark?
Yeah, exactly. I can't ever keep up with the movie stuff. Now I've just gone pregnancy brain on you. Sorry.
That's all right. I can wait.
No pop-up questions.
I can wait. I'll wait.
I think the only thing, I mean, maybe with fulfillment, you know, when I think of people like FSI or one of our show partners, it's, you know, how are you going to change this process for me? So some people, if they get this big spot on, you know, I mean, even the Shark Tank people that have been yeah. kind of last minute, they get to film and air within months. That's a very short period of time. Knowing what, asking this company, how is this going to change? You know, yes, you're going to pay some money for the fulfillment, but how much does that change your yeah. life? You know, on the, for example, for Amazon, they have very strict, requirements for how things are shipped. Well, every retailer does. And so that's one of the biggest ways that's going to change. If you move over to a fulfillment company, suddenly you're not losing money. You're not losing all these chargebacks to these big companies. And so your profit goes through.
That's a good one.
And you're exchanging, you know, you as an inventor entrepreneur, you have multiple currencies you're dealing with. Yeah. Money is the obvious one, but there's also stress. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you can look at stress as a type of currency. And if something's really stressing you right. out yeah. and arresting the development of your company, to tie it back to the theme yep. here,
I love it.
Find someone to help you with that. You can exchange money mm-hmm. to alleviate stress.
And make more money.
All right. I'm going to take your topic, Tiffany, and you were dealing it specifically with fulfillment. And I'm going to kind of say, I think another great question. So I'm going to tweak what you said and make it a question. So here's a question you can have in your back pocket. Hey, can you walk me through the process of what it would look like if I were to work with you? Walk me through, and at what point do I start owing you money for what you're going to help me do? You know, because
and give me a ballpark for what that money
yes,
looks like.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to ask that
absolutely.
Question as early as possible.
Absolutely.
Because again, another currency you have is your time. Mm-hmm. So if someone's at the end of the day, they're going to be too expensive for you for whatever reason, you don't, I'm sorry, I hijacked your question.
Oh, no.
You don't want to waste your time.
Right.
or their time, frankly, going back and forth thinking, okay, well, it's a $1,000 budget, and they're thinking, oh, it's a $10,000 budget.
In addition to that, what do you get for that $10,000? Because right, we've also met all these inventors who, I got taken for $15,000, and you're like, well, what did they tell you they were going to give you? And they have nothing to show for it.
Oh, I got a report.
Contract. Right.
Well, whoopity-doo.
That's the question I'm trying to ask. Give me the process of what it's going to look like. Tell me the end result.
What do I get?
Yeah, tell me the end result of what I can expect. And then, like you said, Noah, ask about price up front. You know, I'm going to refer it back to me. When I first started out and you're talking to all these people and you're trying to get them to talk to you about their money, and it was funny – I'm trying to build a business by talking to as many people as possible about their money. And I would find people who I started to figure, I think they're trying to be nice and they don't want to say no to me, but I want them to know the best thing you could do is tell me I'm never planning on working with you, because now I'm not going to waste my time calling you every 3 months with a stock idea or this idea and go, hey, can we sit down and talk? And you go, oh no, it's good to hear from you though. I'm not looking for friends. I'm looking for clients.
I am not shy about disclosing, you know, this is about, I can't give you a quote on day, you know, in the first conversation, but I'm not shy about sharing within a day or so. This is about what this is going to cost. Yep. And I don't want them to be shy about asking that question, because at the end of the day, if we're not a match on cost, you know, maybe I can work with you and say, okay, but if we adjust it this way and this way, we can kind of meet and we can find a way to meet. But if we're too far apart,
get to that sooner than later.
You know, oh, I thought it was going to be $100 for you to spend $1,800 on this.
Yeah. And if the answer to those things of, you know, tell me about your process, tell me about the cost, if the answer to those things are, well, I really can't cover that now, then you need to get a lot better answers than that, because it might be you need to run from that now.
Well, they may go, I can't cover that now, but give me 2 days to sleep on.
That's
it.
That's fine. Get something specific. Yeah. And I was going to say, they may say, because the answer, you know, so I have attorney friends and the answer to every question is, well, that depends. Yeah. Right.
That depends on whether you want to go to jail.
Exactly. Yeah. So I understand that could be an answer too, but okay. Depends on what? Break that down for me. Talk to me about it. What's that going to look like? What do we, you know, again, the more, just ask good questions and don't be scared to ask for specifics. Right. And then, you know, kind of, because it's okay to say, again, it's okay to say no, drop that plate and pick up another one.
Yeah. So to close this out, this one question is, you know, just discuss cost, make sure you're on the right ballpark there. Discuss what it's going to look like to work. You know, to work with you. It's like some people might say, well, I'm going to go away in 6 months. I'll come back with a solution. Well, maybe that's not how you want to work. So others might say, well, we're going to talk every day. Maybe that's not how you want to work either. So how's the process look? And then that third one, which Tiffany, you were talking about, is what are the deliverables? What at the end of the day, what do I have in my hands or in my email or whatever it is as a result of this?
Yep. Because if you did want just a 3D rendering for a Kickstarter campaign that you're not sure you're going to launch the product, that's fine if they're charging you a couple $100 to do that and you're both clear on that. Mm-hmm. But if that's what most of the people we meet end up with after paying engineering money, you know, $10,000-$15,000, that's a problem.
All right. What else you got on your what else do you guys talk about? I wish you guys could have been in here, because – watching Tiffany and Noah just kind of, don't forget about that. Oh, and that's a good, it was brilliant. And the best part about it was I was not involved, which is great with me.
Yeah.
Well, we were starting to make a list of things that people maybe don't know they can get help with, and or areas that you might know, but you really need to make sure you do your due diligence on, like we were talking earlier about, you know, getting referrals out of the inventor community, getting positive reviews, and be careful with the fake reviews. You know, just like with stuff on Amazon, there's fake reviews of service providers out there. So some stuff we talked about already was, you know, patent services. Brock's obviously our go-to person there. But stuff like, you know, packaging and things like that, you know, graphic design. I think you have some referrals.
Social media marketing. I mean, all these things that can overwhelm you. There are resources for that.
Yeah, even some stuff that's maybe not so much product related. Some of it is, but if it's something that really stresses you out, like maybe just setting up your LLC stresses you out, well, there's people that can help with that. Right. Don't let that be what stops you. Maybe it's like, well, I don't know where to warehouse this, or I don't know how to get it freighted into the country or whatever. There's people to help with each and every one of these things. And don't put your head in
the sand, because, you know, we've both met the people who just avoid some of this stuff, especially like the company formation and all of that. They act like it's just going to go away. Right. You know, but you still got to do, like you said, spin all the plates and do all of this, but whether you do it or someone else helps.
Yeah. Some of it you might be very comfortable with. It's like, you know, this doesn't stress me out at all. I love doing this. Well, fine. You don't need help with that. But it could be anything like our list here. You know, we put freight forwarding, like your certification, like if your product has to go through the child product safety certification, or UL or ETL. You know, there's people that help with all that. Even like rapid prototype, you know, it's certainly something I do, but like, you know, 3D printers, they're frankly everywhere now, you know.
Yeah, you're at the library.
You probably have a relative with a 3D printer, frankly. Mm-hmm.
The library has them now. Stephen went, yeah. What?
Government grant writers.
My library does anyway.
Now if you try to go and use the one at the library and you don't know what you're doing, that's probably going to stress you.
Is it a dime? Do you put the dime in to get the 3D printer?
I have not seen these library printers, knowing that.
I just like the way Tiffany goes, my library.
And ours is up in the middle of North Georgia Mountains. So right. Mine does, why. Yours probably does.
Some sort of fancy enclave up there.
I don't think so.
Mountain people.
But, you know, let's say you have a potential to get a government grant. There's people you can hire to write a government grant proposal for you. You don't have to do that yourself.
You will have to do that, by the way. You
just said
writing.
You don't have to do, you don't have to do it yourself.
You will have to hire a grant writer. Almost grant certainly. Writing is not something a layperson can do.
That sounds like a challenge.
Managing your social media, managing your Kickstarter, you know, managing your Amazon. You know, you were mentioning, Tiffany, there's people that are specialists in navigating the Amazon world to make sure your pricing is right, yes, and you're doing the Amazon fulfillment or not.
And that is a very crowded space, but also a very nasty space, like the inventor space, where a lot of people are taken advantage of. So I would definitely get a lot of referrals in that area. Everybody's right. An Amazon expert right now because Amazon is so big. So
referrals from people that have real people succeeded.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to jump on what you just said, and I think this is going to be my last question before we wrap up. In all these areas, so many areas that are spinning plates that you might look to get help with, there was a particular area that applies to even what I do that I thought, you know, the difference in someone who does a great job in this and someone who does a poor job in this is so vast. Mm-hmm. And I think there are certain areas where it's not as vast. There definitely are differences. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think of an attorney. All attorneys have passed a bar. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
it's just a price difference.
Correct.
Well, sweeping the floor is what stresses you out. You know, you can get a lot of people to sweep your floor.
And the difference of sweeping the floor is not as wide as some of the other areas. So here's what I'm going to say.
Heart surgery.
But, you know, even the worst quote-unquote heart surgeon is still a heart surgeon. Jim Gaffigan said even the brain surgeon, they don't have he was last in his class. Now, he might have been the last guy to be a brain surgeon, but at least he did follow the bar of being able to do a brain surgery. Anyway. Okay, so let me ask this. Is there one or give me one or two of all these things you've covered, of all these things people, you know, need some help with or help spinning the plates or, you know, pop up as an issue that you would say this is maybe the most important to really do your referral or really do your ask questions, because if you get stuck with a bad one,
yes,
it's catastrophic.
Yes. I'd come back to the Amazon one for sure. Only because I've seen so much of that lately where people have hired companies and nothing has happened.
And they do nothing.
Spent a lot of money.
Okay.
Websites. Good example. Derek can build a very robust, you know, at SpearTech can build a fantastic website for you. It might be higher price, but it's going to work well.
Check out our archives of Derek, of Derek's shows, where he talks about the difference of doing e-commerce, mm-hmm, of doing business on your website.
Here's a good way to sum it up. So an attorney is protected, like you said. They take the bar. You're almost always still going to get that patent through the attorney, right? For the most part, it may not be the best, whatever, but you're going to get one and get something. you know, it may cost you 50.
Not if you burn through all your money first.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or you may get the patent, like we said before, and that's all you have to show for it.
There are a lot of people with nice patent artwork on their walls.
Yeah.
But at least they have something. I mean, then you look at these other companies where they might spend that same amount of money and get nothing. I mean, we've seen engineering.
So you would say the answer to that question is the categories where if you pick the wrong person, you will have your money completely stolen.
Yeah. And it happens in nothing in return. All the time. And Noah's role.
Okay.
Noah obviously has never done that, but there's so many companies like his that do where if they end up with nothing, they don't have any real.
Got Tiffany going on that.
There are companies that advertise to be like me, but they're not not like my company.
Right.
All right. So Noah, apart from your, can't answer yourself.
Well, mine's the main thing.
Well, absolutely,
because I've inherited so many projects where.
Okay, so you would say it's yours.
I would start there just because that's where my focus is. Sure. But because so many of the projects I have inherited over the years have been people that have been either intentionally or unintentionally taken advantage of by people that were, you know, like they have seen on TV companies that are just,
your idea can bring you millions of dollars.
So they pay $15,000 and they get a report at the end from that. Those which are, I would call intentional scams, to the other end where they're well-meaning engineers. They just weren't really good at product development.
He's exactly right though. His is the main thing. His is the most important of all these things on the list because it is the development of the actual product. You know, we're talking about product-based businesses here. You never get to the Amazon side if he doesn't develop a great product for you that you can actually sell.
You can't deal with logistics issues if you don't have a product to sell, a minimum viable product.
My second one would be the patents because that's an area where, again, I think there are a lot of well-meaning patent attorneys out there that are like, hey, I'm helping this guy, but so I reduced my fee from $300 an hour to $250 an hour. Well, that's not really helpful.
Yep.
You know?
Because so many of those, you know, and we say that because so many people end up, like we said, with a patent and they haven't even developed the product. You're doing it in the opposite order. So oftentimes people are doing it in the opposite order that they should be. Let's get the product developed and then let's protect it.
All right. Good job. Well done. It's all important. So I'm going to arrest the development of this episode. I can only use that joke twice, and I used it on the last one, so I'll use it on this one. So don't get caught with spinning plates dropping. Don't get caught with so many things that you end up saying yes to or having to deal with that you lose your business. And don't get caught with working with the wrong person. Mm-hmm. When things are very important and need to get done.
Or if you do get caught with them, get out fast.
Get out quick. Yes. Don't stick around with, George Bluth or, what was Will Arnett's character?
Job. But spelled G-O-B. Yeah, and he's the one who thought he was a great magician. But really was just resentful that Michael knew business and he didn't.
Oh, man. So run away from Job.
Yes.
G-O-B. So
I would say run away from almost from Buster, Tobias, Lindsay. Run away from them all.
Pretty much them all, yes. Yeah. Which Michael should have. Right, but he never did because he family first.
We're still gonna have to check out the show now.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to watch it. It's great. It's amazing.
So everybody go watch Arrested Development as you're taking breaks, as you're building your product based business. So for those people who obviously want to know more, go to productquickstart.com for Noah. There is a way to contact him. There's also a great form that you can fill out that helps you kind of get the process rolling. Because as Noah said on our show, his thing is the most important because without it, you don't have a product and you can't really start a product-based business without a product.
That's right.
And we love FSI, but you don't need logistics until you're selling the product. So you got to get the product to market. So at least the first most important thing, MVP. Right? Fair enough.
Well, it's all important at the end.
Yes.
But again, just coming from where I've just seen so many people abused.
Me too.
That's what I'm very well. That's why I started the business largely. Yeah. So I'm very sensitive.
Stop inventor entrepreneur abuse. Mm-hmm. Contact productquickstart.com and get them in your corner.
The American Society for the Prevention of Inventor Abuse.
Wow, we just formed a society. The four of us.
ASP.
ASPIP.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
ASPIA.
All right. then you can go to TiffanyKrumans.com and take her course on learning how to become an entrepreneur and inventor. Great place there. So check that out. Very reasonable. And if you want to become a podcaster, and show the slightly annoying co-host that you can do it much better, you need to go to JodySmith.com. He will help you podcast. And as for me, all I have left to say is I'm tired. I'm going home. Actually, I'm taking my son to ninja course. So we'll catch you next time on Product Genius.